Good morning, everybody, and welcome to season four of Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or tea, sit back and relax, because we have a lot to chat about this morning on what is going on in the stars, what is going on with the planets, and in general, what is happening for 2020. So I'm really glad to be back. I took an entire week off and I enjoyed every minute of not having to get up and be on time to be somewhere. My husband took the same week off, so we had time together. It was really nice. So I did try to keep in contact with some of you if you had requested charts, for example, or what have you. But if indeed I missed somebody, please let me know that I didn't answer you so that I can make sure that you're taken care of. I do believe yesterday and the day before I started kind of dabbling a little bit in the work and hesitantly. And it seemed like it was funny because my intention was to get all this stuff done for my business, but I didn't get a thing done because my cat would call me, like she's out there calling me right now. She wants me to go sit down so she could get up on my lap and watch TV or hang out with me. And I just couldn't seem to get myself organized around doing anything. So instead, I just did nothing and or had a good time, you know, shopping, doing whatever, right? So it was a restful time. And now I'm ready to get back out there and start talking about all of the interesting things coming up. So today we have the week to look ahead at. Plus we have several things that have happened just today we'll begin and that happened at the end of last week that we want to be able to talk about. So let's say a quick good morning to people who are joining us out there. Linda, Dennis, nice to see you. And Allison, good to see you. Tom Wright, wow, you're up early. And he says hello. And Allison says good morning to everyone. Hello, Mimi and Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel. Good morning to you and anybody else who joins us in the meantime or in the background, which I don't always get to see who that is. So let's see, what do we do with the time we have today? First off, let's talk about where the moon is, because you know what? During my time off, I didn't even know where the moon was most of the time. I just didn't look. And the other day when I saw that the moon was in Aries, I'm like, oh, well, that makes some sense based on what was going on in the world around us. And also, now today, the moon in Taurus, but it's in void right now. So it moved into the void this morning at 4:08 a.m. Pacific time, so 7:08 a.m. for you all on the East Coast, where it will stay in the void until 6:11 p.m. tonight. So that's 9:11 for you all on the East Coast. At that point, it will move out of Taurus and into my favorite sign, Gemini. And I can't believe my husband didn't give me my new coffee cups for this morning. So at that point, then the energy changes and we're moving out of the more physical, sensual energies of Taurus and into the more mind-centered energies of Gemini. Now, this morning, before the moon turned into the void, it had made a square to Venus, and Venus is playing a pretty prominent role. We're going to spend some time this morning talking about Venus and where she is right now and what cycle that we are expected. You see my crazy cat? She's just being crazy now. And then we're also left today in the void with a trine to both Saturn and Pluto. So we're kind of left with some energy of reconstruction, deconstruction, rebuilding, setting up new forms, setting up new strategies, perhaps thinking about conservation, being a good steward of your time, of your energy, of your resources, etc. And of course, we're left with that then up until the point at which the moon turns out of the void. And then very shortly thereafter, and thankfully this happens overnight for us, mostly here in the U.S., then the moon will move into an opposition with Mars, which is newly in the sign of Sagittarius. In fact, Mars moved into Sagittarius on the 3rd, and that would have been on Friday, and that was just as we were hearing about here in the U.S. And of the murder of Soleimani and just the debacle that all of that is going to bring to us, whether it's justified or not, right? It's just that that was a big thing on the world stage as Mars moved into a sign which brings a clash of ideologies, in that Mars moved into Sagittarius, a fire sign. So it's not unexpected that we would see some kind of clash, some kind of fiery event. And indeed, we have seen that. And Mars now in the sign of Sagittarius is going to be difficult for all of us around the world, as we deal with what our ideologies, our beliefs are. And when we're dealing with the Middle East and the Western world, we are always dealing with a clash of ideologies. And of course, no sign embodies that more than Sagittarius. So we have, you know, the next several weeks worth of Mars in Sagittarius. And you can almost see and feel how this is setting up, because the next sign Mars moves into as we move into later January is Capricorn, where we've got right now. Let's look at the chart this morning. I showed my husband and he just about gasped. Look at the number of planets right here. They're all between 25 degrees of Sagittarius and 24 degrees of Capricorn. So mostly in Capricorn. Look at that. Ay, ay, ay. That's a lot in one area of a chart. So when you're talking the chart of a nation, when you're talking a personal chart, you are talking about a very localized area in your life where restructuring is happening, where the old is falling away and the new is being reborn. In the process, it's usually pretty difficult, and it's often very much catalyzed with the more negative energies of the sign, and then cooler heads prevail, and we can hopefully reach for the highest expression of the energy in that sign, which, you know, the sign of Capricorn is very much about building something of lasting value, building something or creating something that is sustainable. And maybe what we're looking at in the process of all of these crazy things going on in the outer world is the glaring unsustainability in the relationships out there, and between countries, between different ideologies, between peoples, and how it is that we can hopefully now create something that's more lasting, that's maybe more equitable, that's maybe more inclusive. So we'll see how that plays out. On top of some very interesting energies that the moon is playing with today, the sun is also moved into a sextile with Neptune, a sextile being a 60-degree angle. Get you guys back into these relationships that the planets have with one another. A sextile is 60 degrees, and that implies that the two planets and the signs they are in are exchanging gifts and talents in a very easy way, that they support one another in their missions. So it's interesting because the sun's mission, of course, is all about ego, all about the personality, all about the shining the light on the gifts and the talents that you have as an individual, or the things that we're here to accomplish as souls on the planet. While Neptune is much more quiet, much more spiritual in this respect, but also very imaginative. This is the imagination. So in our imaginal minds, what could we create? How could we use our identity, our national identity, our personal identities, our human identities, to embrace this idea of oneness and of a world filled with unity and love instead of war and killing? So we have the possibility right now to reach for the highest in all of that energy. Neptune is highly spiritual. So today with the sun moving into that, it highlights our spirituality. Notice I said spirituality and not religion. This is not about religion. Mars in Sagittarius is going to bring all that up for us. We don't need more of that. Religion is really just a device of separation. If you look at it closely, what does it do, right? It ideologies, religions separate. It isn't the exact idea behind it, because the idea behind it is about inclusivity. So we have to go to the spiritual idea of what it is that we're reaching for through religions. And that is about being inclusive, about love, about peace. And this brings us to inspired loving, inspired compassion, inspired humanitarianism, inspired altruism. So it's a different energy here. If you take out the religious thing and you bring it back to spirituality, the bigger picture, then we see that we have this potential to express the totality of love as opposed to the totality of hate. So big shoes to fill with this particular transit. But remember, as we were talking about the astrology of 2020, the one thing that makes this time period that we're living in, so different from the last time periods where the Pluto, Saturn, Mercury, Sun, Jupiter, and Capricorn energy was present, was way back in time. And the difference this time is the prominence of Neptune. And first of all, at that time, we didn't even know there was a Neptune. This time we know there's a Neptune, and Neptune is in the sign it rules. And it's really bringing us this idea of imagine better, imagine more, imagine love. It's everything that John Lennon spoke about, imagination, right? And that includes self-improvement, intuition, love, compassion, all of those really good things. So today the sun in a sextile to Neptune reminds us that those are our birthrights, right? Those characteristics are our birthright as humans here on the planet. And it's only the man-made artifice in between that has created separation, right? It isn't the truth. It just is what we have created in our fear of one another, in our fear of one another's beliefs, in our fear of not having enough, right? So we, in all of the field of fear, we've created this idea of separation. But right now, with the potential, is the high potential of the energy of now, is that we can bring it all back together, and we can celebrate oneness, we can celebrate unity, we can celebrate our differences, as well as our commonalities. So big shoes to fill today for Sun and Neptune, especially in against the backdrop of the world as it is today, at least what it looks like today. Okay, now, during the holiday that I took, the week off, of course, I don't stop doing things. I sat there and I read fully this book, and I have it right here. And here's the book. It is called The Light of Venus, Embracing Your Deeper Feminine, Empowering Our Shared Future by Adam Gainsburg. Now, I'm not suggesting that you all go out and buy the book and read astrology books. Why? Because you have me, I can explain it to you. But if you are interested, or if you are part of my dimensional astrology class and you're learning astrology, this might be a book that you want to get, in that it really eloquently, seamlessly, even without him even mentioning the Pleiades there, it seamlessly brings together the energies of the Pleiadian Earth energy calendar and astrology, and what we know to be true about the planet Venus and her cycles of time. And I was really shocked at all of the things that I was actually learning about Venus while I was reading this book. Now, before I had read this book, I just sort of glanced through it and did a cursory once over, seeing, you know, what was in it. But now, this time I took the time. And what Adam does in this book is he develops fully the cycles of Venus. And right now, what made me do this is I was looking in the Pleiadian Earth calendar, which hopefully you guys all got your newest one, right? You're now in the 2020 Pleiadian Earth energy calendar. And if you opened it up to January, you noticed two things likely. One, that we are in a collective shadow period. Even if we didn't know that, we could tell that because of what's going on in the world around us. And you would also have seen these two stars on January 1, a blue one and a yellow one. And these stars tell us a lot about what is going on with Venus, in that Venus star points, the blue star points to Leo. I have to find out more about these gates, that these like portals that Venus walks through at various times. And at this point, Leo was the gate, that the portal that Venus was walking through. And then the Venus phase. Now, the phase is what really fascinated me and caused me to go out and get this book, The Light of Venus, and want to really look at the phases, because we are in the remember and embody phase of Venus. So what does that mean? So Venus has, oh Lordy, I am so glad I just saw that. I forgot to plug my computer in. We would have gone dead. Woohoo! Good catch. So Venus has these various phases that she goes through. It's very obvious when she is in the morning phase, because she's the brightest star in the morning sky. And when she's in the evening phase, which means she's the brightest body in the evening sky. But what happens in between? Because right now, if you're looking for Venus out in the evening sky, you're not finding her. If you're looking for her out in the morning sky, you're not finding her, because she isn't there. She isn't visible right now. She's in this in-between stage where she has been in very close proximity with the sun. And then that means as the sun is setting, Venus has been setting as well. So if you have a clear western horizon, you may have been able to just barely see her, but chances are she's been in an invisible phase for almost everybody on the planet. So this new phase that she's moving into, the remembering and embodying phase, is where she begins her evening ascent, meaning every day now she will move a little bit higher, a little bit more distance from herself and the sun. So to the point where eventually she will pop out as the evening star. We will see her in all of her glory and all of her brightness. And this particular phase of Venus lasts 163 days. So about 5 months that we will see her in the evening sky as she climbs higher and higher and higher, distancing herself from the sun. Now, we already could see this astrologically, as the sun right now is in the sign of Capricorn and Venus herself is in the sign of Aquarius. If we were to look at her in constellations, we would also see the same thing. That in the constellations, Venus is also one ahead right now of the sun. And that will just become more and more prominent as the next few weeks and months wear on, to the point where she becomes the brightest thing in the night sky, besides the moon. And there is a theme that goes along with each of the Venus phases. This particular phase is the theme of remembering and embodying, and we're going to go through what that means specifically for us collectively. Now, if you happen to be born during the time that Venus was in this phase, then these particular characteristics are about your life, right? And about how you express love and how you are in relationships and how you are with finances. And it's imperative that we all, I think, learn what our Venus phases are. And it's really easy to find out. You just need the right book and the right way to be able to read that. And maybe one day we'll do something around that where you can actually see what your Venus phase was. And an astrologer can also pick that out by looking at your chart, because we can tell where Venus was at that time of the year. So in this particular case, the collective theme is about exploring, about embodying, and about maturing the feminine principle. And that doesn't mean men becoming more like women or women becoming more like women. It is about embodying the feminine energy. So it has nothing to do with the sexual energy. It has everything to do with the more receptive, softer, nurturing sides of the energies that are potentially out there in the world. So during this time period, so from now, and that takes us up to about, I think it was May 5th, might be May 5th. I could tell you that on another day, but 5 months from now, we are in the remembering and embodying phase. So understanding who we are, understanding our choices, what works, what doesn't, what wasn't, who isn't worthy of being in your field, and who is. So we're really understanding more about ourselves and our instincts and who we want to be and who we are. We're kind of putting back together our parts of ourselves about who we could be, right? So we all know who we are. I think we have an idea of who we are, but who could you be, If you allowed yourself to express the fullness of who you are, who would you be? Who could you be? And in this case, then, in this time, we have to take responsibility for everything about ourselves, for everything we are, for everything we aren't, but could be, everything we've done, everything we've left undone. This is our time to take responsibility for all of that. And this is a time for us to be in gratitude for life, being alive, and to the recognition of how precious life is, remembering the reason we came to this planet was to experience the preciousness of life itself, being in a body, being able to touch, to feel, to smell, to love, to hold, and all of the great feeling energies on the planet here. And this is a spiritual discipline for each of us during this time to remember the highest and the best of the world and of who we are. So even when we see things happening in the outer world that don't feel or look loving or kind or generous or compassionate, to remember the highest and the best of every person, that every person is doing the best that they can, and that the world is in a way, the world is exactly the way it's meant to be right now. Even though I don't particularly care for the way things might be going, it is exactly as it should be. And then it leaves it up to each one of us to remember the truth of who we are, embody that truth, and then move on out into the world with those characteristics, embodying those characteristics. So this time, the remembering phase of this is all about transcending fear and diving into love, right? Diving into the love energy, letting go of fear energy. Now, embodying, because this is twofold. This is remembering and embodying. So the word embodying means to take it in, right? To take it in and be that which it, that is your truth, right? Embodying the truth, allowing your life to unfold and then accepting yourself right where you are. So yes, we want to remember that there's more to us than meets the eye, but we don't want to beat ourselves up for not being there yet. Right? That would totally defeat the purpose of this energy. We want to remember that we have a higher way of being that we may not be expressing right now, but we also have to accept and love ourselves right where we are and understand that we can always move on, right? We can move up and on and beyond from where we are right now. This is a time to embody and immerse yourself in compassion, in gratitude, in intimacy, in flow, and live and demonstrate those energies to the world. So in other words, what can you do to more embody and fully express any one of those kind of energies? The energies of compassion, gratitude, intimacy, any of the loving, kind energies, generosity, magnanimity, all of that. Transforming negativity at this point into one of those energies, right? One of the best ways I know of to transform a fear or a negative feeling is to be in gratitude for where you do find yourself, right? To, you know, even though the world may not look like you're getting what you want, you have tons of gratitude for what you do have and where you are and your health and your family and your friends and whatever else it is that you bring up in gratitude. That transforms negativity. Now, I want to read you a quote from Adam Gainsburg in the book, and it's this. The more you inhabit the fullness of your experiences, the better agent you become for higher expressions of feminine qualities and principles. Your embodied choice to act compassionately becomes compassion's opportunity to move further into creation through you. So we want to become agents of compassion, agents of love, agents of generosity, agents of flow, whatever it is that you want, a positive influence that you would like to live and be in the world, inhabit that, because then it allows that energy to more fully develop through you into the bigger, wider world. That's so powerful, just so powerful. So overall, for these next 5 months, this is a time for us to go deeper into our body's wisdom. right? To go within and to really understand more about what your body's wisdom is. We forget that in our world, right? We get so busy thinking about things or getting into our mind or the pursuits of the our devices and information and doing, going. We forget to be here in this moment, embodied in the wisdom that we have inherently. So this will be a time for that and to really hear the voice of reason within you. Find and expand on your hidden gifts. All of us have them. You might even know what they are, but you've just been afraid to express them. Or the world has somehow convinced you that you can't express them, right? If I allowed the world to tell me that I couldn't be an astrologer, I would still not be that. If you're meant to do something different than what you're doing, allow for the possibility for you to find and express those hidden gifts and talents that you brought here to the planet. Don't leave your gifts stagnant within you. We need them, right? If you have a gift, bring it out and participate fully in the expression of that gift. Become fully aware during these next months of who you are, what you're doing, what you're meant to be doing, who you're meant to be. Get into your being. And that right now is part of our collective shadow energy even. So the collective shadow energy doesn't end until we get to 10 enlightening, and today's only 2 choosing. So we have until the 14th of January before we get to the end of this collective shadow period. So this whole week and is a great time, and into early next week is a really great time to consider some of these things. How do we remember our truth? How do we express the truth of who we are and bring that out in the world? Let's see what people are saying here. Mimi, LOL, that was me yesterday. I hit a point and just enjoyed doing nothing. Seriously, a whole week of doing nothing. It was great. I mean, I did things, but I did things that were just sort of not work. Colleen, good morning to you. Annette Tumility, good morning to you. Asa, hello. Michelle Shiaka, good morning. Mimi says, hello, Sadie. Asa says, namaste. Dusa, good morning. Marjorie Roth, good morning. Dusa says, my north node is in Capricorn and it's in my fourth house. So many ideations on my mind. And exciting times to move away from fear. Absolutely. And Dusa says, oh, looks like a great book. Trust me when I say it was a really good book. And it just sort of, to me, because I'm already an astrologer and I'm already living all of this all the time, it just brought some themes together. And I understand more fully now why it is that I'm so interested in the Mayan calendar and the Pleiadian Earth Energy calendar and astrologies. They're pretty much one in the same, a little bit different application of them, but because they both value Venus so prominently. In fact, in the Mayan calendar and even the Pleiadian Earth calendar, we're not really talking about Saturn and Pluto and Mars even. We're talking mostly about Venus. And in some respects, we're talking about the moon, but we're really not looking at the planet so much as we're looking at the energies of a day and what can be the full expression of that particular day. And Venus actually showing us the time periods that we're in instead of the other planets that we use from regular Western astrology or even Eastern astrology. So it's always fun. Good morning, Brenda. Great to see you. Marissa, great to see you. Tom says, I can barely see the yellow star on the calendar. If you hadn't mentioned it, I would not have seen it. It's there. I look very closely at it, probably because it's in the gray of the collective shadow. So the collective shadow is like Venus and the yellow star there just barely begins in that collective shadow period. So it's kind of hidden in there. Petra, good morning. Great to see you. Cassildra, good morning. Sarah, good morning to you. And Marjorie says, I love that insight in my being is the opportunity for that word to embrace its transformative power. Indeed. Ahmad Afridi, good morning. Fred Green, oh my Lord, how are these people finding my page? Debbie, good morning. She said she did nothing also. I love it. Isn't it just nice sometimes just to be and not have to do? There's just something, I don't often get to do that. As a generator, I'm always busy. Even while I was doing nothing, I kept feeling like I should be doing something. And then I'd say, no, right now your body just wants to sit here. I took naps during the day. I slept until 8 o'clock in the morning. This morning getting up at 6 a.m. I thought was going to be a trial, but no, I just got right up. Even though all of the other days in the week, I slept until 7:30, 8 o'clock. It was awesome. But I'm now recharged and ready to go. So let's look at today's energy. Today in the Pleiadian energy calendar is 2 choosing. Remember, the number tells us about the universal energy of the day. So in the universal energy of the day, we're talking about no matter what life form you are, no matter what planet you might be living on, you are working the energy of 2, which is about duality. And duality is about accepting the opposite point of view or opposite perspectives, that it's all part and parcel of the one, right? So if we have the one, then we break one into 2 and we see that it's made up of more than just one. It's made up of multiples. But in this specific energy, we're dealing with duality. So we are the light and the dark half of the same coin, right? So we have to accept that all of these things that we want to say are oppositions are really just a part of the one, right? The one energy. Choosing is the earth energy of the day. Choosing energy is about choosing a new road, actually, because in the Mayan calendar, this was ebb. Ebb energy was the road. And every time this energy comes up, I see a fork in the road, right? Where we come to a T maybe even, right? And we could choose to turn right or we can choose to turn left. And that we might even see that turning right or left is all a part of the same thing. We're just moving in a different direction. Everything will come back and meet again at the one. So choosing energy is about healing. It is about nurturing, and it is about nurturing the different perspectives. It is about valuing and honoring all ways, all people, all experiences. You're all on this planet to experience something. And so we have here to settle our differences in the collective in a new way. Remember, too, that Saturn and Pluto in our human design is sitting at the gate 61, and that's about the shadow of psychosis. And we are all sort of in the shadow of psychosis where we believe things to be true that aren't. And it's easy for us to be manipulated into believing things that aren't true. We have to be able to step outside of that and see from a higher perspective, or else we are doomed to keep repeating these same instances, these same beliefs, these same things that pull us apart as opposed to bring us together. So in the bigger scheme of things, then this is about becoming more enlightened by making choices that are correct for you, but also understanding that other people's choices, while you may not like them, aren't yours to make, right? So it's a really kind of an interesting energy that we have developing here today, because it's much more, it takes us into territory that isn't comfortable, I think, sometimes, where for one thing, we believe sometimes that our choices don't affect anybody else, but they do. So when we choose to bomb a country or kill somebody's leader or whatever, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, I'm just saying that's an energy that's out there. The choice was made, but that choice was made by an individual or a set of individuals, but it affects us collectively. So we have to understand that, yes, we have our own choices to make in the world, but our choices, because we're part of a collective, affect us all, right? So what were the words that I gave you? That we wanted to become agents of compassion, gratitude, intimacy, flow, and live and demonstrate those energies to the world, even in the face of this adversity or in the face of what feels like an upcoming war or battle between ideologies. Mars in Sagittarius, the clash of ideologies. So how do we heal that? How do we bring that together? And it's a choice. It's a choice that we make in every moment, every day, in how we react to something, how we don't react to something, what we choose to say, how we choose to be, what we choose to live by. So that's our choice. Now, if we look at human design, this is also the beginning of the new human design week. We are closing in on the end of the human design year. And so as such, we are coming to we're in the, what's that called? The harvest energy of the year. So we're getting ready to harvest all of the energies that we've experienced through the human design template throughout 2019. So the human design year is off from the regular calendar year, as of course we know the calendar is purely mechanical, has no spirituality in it at all. This is not what I wanted. and the human design new year begins here on the 23rd, I believe it is the 23rd. So just about two weeks from now. So we have 2 weeks worth left of energies for us to button up, if you will, 2019, to close out, to harvest what it is that we wanted, that maybe the goals or the things that we were trying to harvest throughout 2019. So what we are at this week is the sun is at gate 54, which I always think of 54 as a really interesting gate. It sits down here on the root center. So if you look down here at the root, this is the root center, and the gate 54 is right here. If you could see the tip of my pen, and it's moving out to the left. It's moving over toward the spleen. It is an energy of ambition and drive. But it is, first of all, let's look at the root center. The root center is a center about impulse. It's the impulse energy that pushes up. So it is the part where we're connected to the earth, and the earth energy in a real very powerful way impulses us to go out into the world and do or be, right? That's the energy of the root center. It is the impulse energy to do something or to begin a journey or to imagine or to, there's lots of really cool energies actually on it's joy energy. It's the fight energy. It is ambition. It is starting things. It is transforming. It is restraint. It's sensitivity. It's provocation and it's imagination. Those are all the impulse energies. And their energy in the root center is also about endurance, being able to stay the course, right? To persevere and to be able to live your, you know, this is where, you know how they always say that the will to live is very powerful. Life will out. Have you ever heard that saying? Because life always finds a way. One of the things I did while I was on vacation is I watched a documentary on Mount St. Helens and how it's recovered since the 1980 eruption. And, you know, here, because we're looking at, you know, 40 years ago that this happened. And so I watched this documentary on it, and it's amazing to me how out of the utter devastation, life willed out. And there were even life forms like amphibians, newts, and salamanders, and frog larvae that didn't die in the volcanic explosion and the devastation that occurred. They lived, right? They lived. And so they prospered throughout that. And, you know, the question then is like, you know, where does this come from, right? That this will to survive, this will to keep going, even in the face of, death, imminent death, right? And it comes from the root center, the energy of the earth impulsing us to endure, to stay the course, to live through, and to prosper despite some of the seeming circumstances that we're in our lives. So the sun at gate 54 is the impulse to find success, to have ambition and drive to go out and make something of ourselves. Now, that's the very purely physical expression. On the spiritual expression here, it's the path to enlightenment, to find the truth, to get to the capital T truth, to find your way, find your light, and to express your light. So it's the path to enlightenment. It pushes you out on a life quest or on a life journey. And so in a very real way, the sun right now is setting you up for what comes next, right? What comes next? What next can I discover about myself? What do I want to take and express now out in the world? So what Do I want to seek in enlightenment? And what might it be that I want to take and make as a goal or an ambition? So when we got to January 1 and we thought it was time to make resolutions, not really, right? The energy of that of January 1st was with the sun at the gate 38, which is the gate of fight and struggle. And what are we fighting for? And what are we struggling to maintain or to have or to be? Right now, we have this gate of ambition and goals where we can really begin to coalesce what it is that we want to express. Who do we want to be in 2020? And which reminds me, hold on. I've got to tell you guys this because remember I told you I was going to do a webinar on the 2020 through human design, and this is a freebie. I want all of you to attend, right? There's no reason. There's no monetary reason that you can't attend. And if you can't attend live, you will still be able to get the recording of this will go up. And that will be on the 21st of this month. So it's a Tuesday. And I'm going to do it at 3:00 in the afternoon, my time. So that's 6 p.m. East Coast time. And it's hard, I know, to get time zones to mesh for everyone, which is why I said, get the recording, right? The recording will still give you everything except the ability to ask questions, which I always leave that for you guys to email me questions if you have them even after a webinar. So circle the 21st at 3 p.m. or 6 p.m. if you're on the East Coast. I'm putting down the time myself. So that will be the day where we do the webinar on what to expect for 2020 through human design. And it's a little bit different in human design than it is through astrology in that we go through, in human design, we often look at the year in seasons. So I know when I was learning human design, we learned it from the standpoint of planting the seed. The first quarter of the year is about planting the seed. The second quarter of the year was germination, right? Where it just starts to pop up out of the soil. And then the third quarter of the year was coming into fullness, right? That everything blooming and in its fullness, fertility. And then the fourth quarter of the year was about the harvest. So if we look at our human design year that way, then we can kind of see how the energy builds and how then it wanes. And it makes sense. In a way, it really makes sense because that's what the seasons are taking us through. Even though those seasons are flip-flopped, if you are in the southern hemisphere from the northern hemisphere. So I try not to talk about it in terms of seasons because of that. But if we think about it as a plant in its growing phases, then it takes away that seasonal thing, right? You guys can, even if you're in Australia, you can see how a plant would grow through the seasons. And the season having a beginning, having a middle, and then having an end. So we have those phases that we're going to look at with the planets. And mostly we're going to talk about the outer planets because they're the ones that are affecting us collectively. It gets a little bit too intense to try to get into the inner planets too much because they change more rapidly and because they're personal, they affect you personally. And it's harder for me to see how that will happen for you because I'm not looking at your personal chart, but we'll get a bigger idea of what we can expect through words this time and the energy attached to these words as opposed to just planetary movements, which is kind of fun. All right, so the sun at gate 54 this week then is giving us the opportunity to set goals, to have an ambition, to set some kind of strategy for how we want to be in 2020. The earth, now what grounds us here on the earth during this time is the gate 53, also on the root center right here. Gate 53 is the energy, impulse energy that takes us, moves us up to the sacral. And the sacral is about taking action, where what the first thing that we run into with the gate 54 and the sun is going to be fear over here in the spleen, survival energies. Up here, we're going to run into what are the actions that I need to take in order to move forward. So that'll be kind of the interesting thing to think about this week because the gate 53 is about starting something new, getting ready to go. It's that, you know, gate where the horses are getting ready to jump out, right? That gate is closed at the moment. And this week it's about getting ready to start something new as we're beginning to move into the new energies for 2020. Now, if we look at these through the gene keys, I think the gene keys are much more interesting in terms of how we can look at the shadow, the gift that we can express, and then the highest expression of all, the Siddhi expression. So in the sun at gate 54, the lowest expression, the shadow expression, is greed. So ambition being the drive in human design, the gate is the drive and ambition, but the shadow energy is greed. And I think what we all have to understand here is that it is greed and greed alone that literally is propelling some of the things that are happening in the wider world stage, whether it is the push for control of resources like oil or precious metals or territory or access to water. All of these things, this greed energy is the shadow that is behind some of the more difficult transits that we're experiencing, or the difficult expressions of those transits in the world. If we can move up even just one level into the gift level, we have aspiration, right? Living the dream. What is the ideal? And what could we be doing? What could we aspire to? Instead of greed, what could we aspire to? That everybody has enough, that everybody is equal, that everybody has all they need to support their life and their mission here on the planet. Aspiration is the gift level here. And the highest level is ascension. That's a big buzzword out there in the world, in the metaphysical world, one that drives me crazy. But the word ascension is about moving up, right? When we are dealing with the Pleiadian earth energy and how we're dealing with the spiral of consciousness and how we're moving up through the evolution through the spiral of consciousness, that's what this gate is helping us to attain, the next level. What is the next level? How could we bring that about? Well, we do that again by being agents for compassion, gratitude, intimacy, flow, and living and demonstrating to the world those qualities. Okay. I'm going to keep beating on that one, I think. I think that maybe even in our thinking about what we want to be in terms of ambition or drive this week, what would you like to be an agent of, right? An agent of change, an agent of love, an agent of giving or generosity? What would you like to be an agent of? Maybe you guys could just throw that out here in the chat stream and let me know. What would you like to be an agent of? Okay. Now, the earth at gate 53, starting new, beginning something. The beginning of something is always in the shadow energy of immaturity. That makes sense, right? You know, immaturity. We start something new and we're immature in it. We're not quite developed yet. We have little experience in it. So in starting something new, it's always that little egg, right? It's just the little birdie cracking out of the egg. It's still immature. And it moves from immaturity into expansion. It grows and it evolves and it gets bigger. So if we're starting with a little seed of compassion, maybe it's compassion for yourself. When you look in the mirror and you say, I love you, instead of I hate you, your hair looks like crap, your glasses are crooked, whatever it is that you want to, you know, talk about yourself. And instead it's, you look marvelous, you feel wonderful, etc., right? So we can expand out of the immaturity of our energies and into expansion. But then expansion leads us to superabundance. That is the highest expression of the earth at gate 53, is superabundance. And I think tomorrow we'll take another look at those words, superabundance and ascension. And what do they really mean in terms of our impulse energy to life, right? To live. So there we have that. So the impulse to start something new and the impulse to find a life quest or to embark upon an enlightenment journey. That is the energy that we have this week through our human design. Wow, I got all that out and I still have time to answer some questions, or maybe I'll even draw some cards for us. I didn't talk about what I wanted to talk about, and I should look at that for you all, because we have a very powerful lunar eclipse coming up at the end of this week. It'll be on Friday. Let's see, it occurs at 11:21 a.m. Pacific time, so early afternoon for you all on the East Coast. And some of you in the Southern Hemisphere will see the lunar eclipse because it will occur in your nighttime. We will not see that here in the US because it happens during the daylight hours for all of us. And this is the full moon. So when we get to the full moon and we have an eclipse, it's a lunar eclipse. And on that same day, we have Uranus turning direct. In fact, just a few hours after the eclipse is when Uranus turns direct. So I would expect some maybe difficult energies on Friday or right thereabout, and even right after. We have Jupiter opposing the North Node, and Jupiter in Capricorn is about, remember, boundaries, boundaries, and we want to grow and expand, but we have these boundaries. So across from the North Node is affecting our destiny. And our destiny is in Cancer at the moment, right? It hasn't yet moved into Gemini energy. We're still dealing with Cancer energy. And the Cancer North Node or destiny is about healing, nurturing, loving, family ties, taking the best of the past and marrying it to the now to create a beautiful, bright future. And what can we do personally to be able to do that? And what we see is a lot of the old falling away and blowing up right on us as we move forward here. So this could be a difficult week in as it is in the outer world. For you all as individuals, look to where 20 degrees of Capricorn and Cancer are in your chart. That is where the full moon will be across. So 20 degrees Cancer will be the moon. 20 degrees of Capricorn will be the sun. And you got to remember, this is all happening in the shadow of Saturn and Pluto's exact conjunction on Sunday, the 12th. So Saturn, Pluto, Mercury, the sun, all very close together and creating this very powerful template for change, for things to move and shake and be upset and to turn upside down and be willing to see something potential for the future. So interesting days ahead this week. We'll talk more about that full moon lunar eclipse as time goes on this week. So let me take a look here and see about questions. Sarah says, happy Monday. Marissa, my week off work last week was spent tying up loose ends and putting some things in place to discover my life purpose going into 2020. I feel refreshed. Awesome. I love it. Dusa, new moon, new HD year, and my birthday, January 24th. You're right in the midst of all of this. However, you're in Aquarius energy, so you're really kind of, your birthday this year is showing you the potential of what's to come, as Saturn will move into Aquarius not long after, let's see, I want to say it's March 30th or March 31st, so coming up. Heather Scott, good morning to you. Angela, good morning. And Monique Alexander, good morning to you. Dusa, thank you for the offering. Yep, you're very welcome. Londa, good morning. Allison wants to be an agent of kindness. Yes. Asa, an agent of wisdom and healing. Yes. We need reminders. So keep beating up the beautiful tunes. She wants to be an agent of social creative ventures that bring communities closer. I'll sign up for that one. Debbie wants to be an agent of joy. Yes. Kathy Miller, good morning to you. Asa, intuitive wisdom. Debbie, card for me, please. Okay, hold on here. Did I just pass by a bunch of people? Could we, as a collective, get a spirit animal card for the year 2020? Yes, we can. Good morning. Can't stay. Typical Monday. Dusa, I need to make a choice. A goddess card could help. Okay. Mimi, if you are doing cards, my question is really about the gallery, as we have a good opportunity to expand and we're meeting tomorrow night. Ooh, Tom, does it make a difference if your gate 53 is defined or open? Great question, Tom. If your gate 53 is defined, meaning it's colored in either red or black, or it could even be striped, you might have multiple planets sitting there, then this energy isn't new for you, right? You're embodying this energy all the time. But for those of us who don't have it defined, this is new energy for you. And when we do the workshop on the human design year, we're going to talk about that. In fact, I think I will start to send out, I'm going to send out a mandala to all of you. I'm going to post it here. I can't send it out to each of you as individuals, but I'm going to post a mandala here so you can start familiarizing yourself with what the human design mandala is and how it correlates to astrology, because it's really very much, they're very cohesive. So when we look at that, Tom, hopefully you'll get a better understanding. of that energy of the gate 53. So not different for you, same, more of the same. And Debbie says, expand Mimi. Tom says, great question. I know, because I asked, silly boy. Okay, let's do some cards really quickly. I have some time here. And I'm going to first pull an animal card for us for the year as Allison requested. So this animal will be sort of our spirit guide for 2020. And we'll see what comes up for that. And of course, that will be our main animal for the year, but we'll obviously get other animals to join us. I had some interesting animal experiences too this last week. Eagle energy. Right now the eagles are everywhere here, the bald eagles, because it is salmon season and they come here every year from about December through March and they feed. And this is good. So the card for the year, Panther spirit. Reclaim your power. Look at the number. I don't know if you can see the number. It's 44, double four. And here we are in 2020, which is four, right? A 4 year. So we've got Panther spirit. Beautiful. I don't think we've ever pulled this card, you guys. As many times as I've pulled cards, I don't believe that personally I've ever pulled Panther, or that for us as collective, I've ever pulled a Panther. So let's just see what Panther means. Panther, 44. There we go. So its message, and it was right side up. It takes courage to face challenges. And right now, Panther spirit is here to say that you are braver than you think. Now is the time to take a risk and step into a different aspect of your being. Speak as you have never spoken before. Act as you have always dreamed you might have the courage to act. Love fearlessly and fully, and expect to feel the adrenaline rush as you are initiated into a new, braver, bolder self. Panther spirit says, the time for dreaming about what you want to do is giving way to that first courageous act toward reclaiming your Panther spirit and power. Your new identity may feel strange at first, but you have what it takes and your soul wants this. Be bold. Perfect. Love it. Panther. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay. So now let me go back here because Allison, okay, so we've got a card. Debbie wants a card. Debbie, you didn't tell me what kind, so I'm going to do a Wisdom of the Oracle. And so this is for Debbie. Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel, card for you, please. I don't know what you're dealing with, but let's just see what it's all about. Debbie gets loyal heart, but in upside down mode, loyal heart. It is card number 35. So if you look at it straight on, you see these two owls intertwined, kind of looks like a masculine and a feminine. And card number 35 is an eight, and it's in upside down mode. So let's see what that might mean for you. Great deck. All right. So the card's meaning is, as you might guess, fidelity, loyalty, and devotion. And in protection, it says, are you stubborn or overly tenacious about an idea? Or have you become so attached to something that you just don't know how to let it go? Could it be that it's become so much a part of you that you wouldn't know who you are without it? Now is the time to look at outdated beliefs, old ideas, and misplaced loyalties. Betrayal is only a signal that it is time to prune away all who don't deserve your trust and have no place in your life. Be new, think new, and open your heart to new things. Let go of the old and all your attachments. Spirit has awesome plans for you. Make some room. I hope that helps, Debbie. And let's see, after Debbie, we had Dusa. She says, I need to make a choice. A goddess card could help. Well, a goddess card it is then. Sorry, I didn't open up any of these decks this morning. So I got to tell you what I've been reading at night before I go to bed. This almost looks like a Bible because it's so nice. It's called The Motivation Manifesto, Declarations to Claim Your Personal Power by Brendan Burchard. I've had this book forever and never read it. And whatever, I took it up and I'm starting to read it before I go to bed. Last night's declaration was, we shall meet life with full presence and power. Your true home is in the here and the now. So anyway, that's what I'm reading before I go to bed at night. Okay, so for you, Dusa. Goodness, goodness, these cards are all prettified. Okay. The Goddess deck is the newest deck that I've been using, thanks to Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel. And get these guys a little bit, these girls, a little bit shaken up here. And, ooh, pretty, pretty. You get Bronwyn, which is forgiveness, card number 7. She's kind of pretty. She almost looks like a Vegas showgirl there. Not to defile her in any way, but let's see here. And not that Vegas showgirls are defilable, but anyway, shut up, Janet. So 7. And it was upright. So that is an empowerment message then for you. And Bronwyn says, sometimes life invites us into conditions that challenge us to the core. As the Celtic goddess Bronwyn forgave those who caused her death by a broken heart, she asks you to set yourself free from the seeds of resentment that will surely choke the life out of your dreams. We are wounded by others and weave stories about our hurts and losses that live on in our hearts and minds. We come to distrust the potential of love and connection. No matter what your story or when it began, forgiveness is the key to freedom here. Forgiveness allows for mending and repair, opening the heart to give and receive. If you need to forgive yourself or others, now is the time to do it. Keep your heart open and you can begin again. Only beauty, freedom, and treasures are found in the spirit of forgiveness. The goddess Bronwyn is here to support you. Bronwyn. She's a pretty girl. Okay. Yes, that's goddess. Okay, now let's see who else wanted a card. Mimi says she has a question about the gallery, and we have a good opportunity to expand right now. So what card would you like, my friend Mimi? Let's try a goddess card for you, Mimi. Let's do it. I know you like the animal cards, but we already have Panther, and it says reclaim your power. So let's just add a goddess to the Panther and see what we get for you and the idea of expanding the gallery. And we get Yuki Ona, but she's upside down. And she is card number 52. She's a winter goddess, if I remember correctly. And she's giving you an alignment message. So the alignment message says, some days you wake up frozen, stuck, and unable to move due to the effects of emotional denial and resistance to what is in front of you. Or maybe you are exhausted, spent from the emotional burden of your current situation. The winter goddess Yuki Ona has come to help you move out of and past this experience into a healthier state of stillness. When you are frozen, it's the ego that is refusing to accept life on life's terms, potentially causing you fear and depression. A particular situation or person may be causing you to see yourself as a victim. The goddess Yuki Ona reminds you that this is but a temporary moment in the millions of moments of your life. The task she has for you is to answer one question. Will you trust the great goddess in the universe to be your active partner in co-creating? If so, slow down and let all your troubles go, and you will see the miracles life has to offer you. So it sounds like let it get out of your head and into your heart. And what is your heart telling you about the idea of expanding the gallery, I believe you said? Love it. Okay. And Tom, Allison, isn't 8 also Capricorn? 8. I'm not sure what you're talking about there. The number 8, maybe. And Marissa says, oh, I love that animal card for 2020. Debbie says, thank you, Mimi. Goddess will be wonderful. Okay, I think I got everybody that actually requested a card. If I missed you, then I will do more again on Friday. So there we have it. That is it for me this morning. Thank you so much for joining me, for allowing me the week off to refresh and recharge my batteries. and we're off and running for 2020. Tomorrow, I happened to notice that it was a very quiet day astrologically. So maybe tomorrow we'll dig into the deeper meaning behind the gate 54 and the gate 53 in your human design, and we'll look closer at the lunar eclipse coming up on Friday. All right, everybody. Thanks so much. Take care. See you tomorrow.